The Lifeboat Hour with Michael Rupert, Sundays at 9 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network.
Nightclub at the end of the world. This is Michael C. Rupert, and welcome back to another episode of the Lifeboat Hour. Tonight, guys, it's going to be just you and me. It's been very, very busy for me lately. Of course, those of you followed the work for a while understand why, because of events in this last week. But I'm also going to be extremely busy over the next few weeks. I don't know if you guys are sick of looking at me on TV or hearing about me. I know I pretty much am right now. But we've got some big things coming up. Tonight, from 10 p.m. to midnight Pacific time, I'm going to be live for 2 hours as a guest on Ground Zero Radio in Portland. You can listen to the show, I believe, by going to groundzeromedia.org. The host tonight will be Clyde Lewis up in Portland. Those of you who know me know that I have a very deep, long history in Portland, Oregon, a great many friends up there. So I've decided to be a guest on someone else's show tonight, and I'm in a let-it-all-hang-out mode, so I'm going to be telling it like it is. But next Thursday is a big day. That's March the 10th, and I will be giving my first university speech in 6 years. That's since the biggest event I ever had, which was at the University of Washington, Seattle in 2005. But this time I'll be at the University of Delaware, otherwise known locally as the University of DuPont. But I will be in the Trabant Multipurpose Room at 7 p.m. I apologize that on the CollapseNet website, we don't have a link to the information about how you can get there. I know it's a no-charge event sponsored by the Geology Club and a few other groups there. We will have a hot link on that event on the CollapseNet website by tomorrow. I'm sure of that. This is going to be a big speech because events are obviously vindicating or proving out all of the predictions I and so many others have been making for so many years about what would happen when we got to this point in human history, and sure enough, it's here. So we're expecting a really big turnout with a lot of media for that, and who knows when I'm ever going to get to give a university speech again the way things are going. But 2 days after that, on March the 12th, which is a Saturday, that's next Saturday, I'll be addressing, speaking to, 5,000-7,000 people up from the Zeitgeist movement at Z-Day LA, at Z-Day all over the world next week. We will be at the LA Convention Center at about 5 o'clock, I think, in the afternoon that day. I'll be speaking for an hour. They've got a lot of great speakers throughout the course of that day. And, of course, we like Zeitgeist for the absolute clarity they have on the destructiveness of the current economic paradigm. And they've done an incredible amount of thinking about what might be possible, even though we've kind of run out of time to prepare. They're an extremely important, effective organization, and I do want to emphasize again, we've had Peter Joseph on the show, that I got a lot of respect for him as an honorable guy. And there's a lot of enthusiasm, and of course now, more than ever, there's a lot of people getting motivated. So we've got that on March 12th, and on March 16th, if you're taking notes, The Nation is doing an incredible video series on peak oil. And, it's great to see people paying attention to this issue now, finally, when it's in our face. And I'm one of many people that will have been interviewed. My 20-plus minute interview, which was, I've seen a cut of it, it's amazing. And I'm really happy with the way it turned out. We'll be up on their website on March 16th with all the interest that the Nation readers can bring, and they have a pretty big readership list. So it's going to be busy. And on top of that, in case you don't know, I have decided that it's time to move out of Los Angeles, are actively looking for places up in Sonoma County, where I have an enormous amount of friends and a lot of people pulling for me to get up there soon. We've just returned from looking at seven places up there, and we're trying to find out which one we're supposed to be at, but I'm going to try to be out of Los Angeles by April 1st. Because I have to think about CollapseNet, and that's something we all need to think about now, because it is clear now with the events as they are unfolding around the world on many fronts that this is a high noon. But let's just talk for a moment and stick with this about oil. And by the way, if you have any questions you want to ask tonight, anything that's on your mind, you can call in at 1-888-874-4888, or you can email me directly if you want to send a question that way by emailing me at lifeboathour@collapsenet.com. I'll get those right away, and we'll talk about that. So now let's talk about oil. Okay, what we know is that Libya is sinking into a protracted civil war. That is not going to be resolved quickly by any model. As I've been commenting for about a week now, but there is an imperative, because there is no elasticity anywhere in the global oil supply, to stabilize Libya. It's not just the fact of Libya's mere 1.5 million barrels per day. It's the fact that there's nobody who can make it up. I want to be very clear about that. That's partially true because Libyan oil is a very light, sweet, highly sought-after crude, not easy to replace with heavier, sour oils from around the world. But we have been... I got a question already. Hold on a second. This is great. Thanks, guys. It's nice to know you're out there. This is from... great. This is from Hayden Evans. Hey, Mike, I heard that Saudi Arabia is going to pump up production to offset the lost oil production from Libya. Do you think this could keep oil around $98 a barrel for a few months, or do you see it going well over 100 within the few months? Well, it's already well over 100 now. And the second thing is that it is abundantly clear, and you've seen, if you're a CollapseNet subscriber who comes to the World News Desk every day, all week long, well, first of all, you've been hearing me yelling for a long time that Saudi Arabia cannot increase production under any circumstances. They've passed their peak. This is a group of people who 20 years ago claimed to have 250 million barrels of reserves. And now, 25 years later, after they've been pumping 7, 8, 9 million barrels a day all this time, they are still claiming to have 250 million barrels of reserve. Saudi Arabia is lying, and that's one of the great problems that we are coming to face really in spades in right now, not just with oil. We're facing it over collective bargaining. We're facing it over pension funds. I said in this interview with The Nation that these unions need to understand something, that there are no pension funds. They have already been looted. And this is covering up the crime. We've published stories on the World News Desk and my old blog for a long time showing that pension funds were underfunded, that they've been looted. The money's gone already. And what's going to happen as states file and declare bankruptcy once that bill passes the House of Representatives is people are going to find out their pension funds are gone anyway. We swim in a sea of lies. They're really getting to be more like fingernails on a chalkboard lately, leafing through TV here. And here comes Lauren Hutton, sister of Timothy Hutton, who is the highly paid spokesman for the American Petroleum Institute, with these ads that make you want to gag. And throughout the course of this last week, I've been bombarded by people who saw stories just released about how there were 3 billion barrels of shale oil in the western Utah someplace, and I just choke on this because these lies are so destructive right now. The world is erupting. People are starving to death. Oil is not going to do anything but go higher. Now, let's go back to that for a second. If Saudi Arabia cannot increase production, then, and the world is past peak, which the IEA has admitted in 2006, we have to look for swing producers. Well, who's got the second largest oil reserves on the planet? Iraq does. Nobody disputes that. Now, Iraqi peak has been delayed some by all the wars. Iraqi production peaked at 3.5 million barrels per day in 1991, right before Desert Storm. Then there were all the bombing and all of that. The infrastructure was trashed. And since the invasion and occupation of Iraq under the Bush administration, Iraqi production hasn't come back close to 3 million barrels a day. So here now we come to a story I just clipped. Hold on, I'm going to pull it up here so that we can do this. The largest oil field in Iraq, Rumaila, R-U-M-A-I-L-A, is facing, quote-unquote, I love this, output challenges. This is from an oil industry journal, one of the ones that one of the many sources that we scan for the World News Desk to find out what's going on. Rumaila, here's a quote. Production at Iraq's supergiant Rumaila oil field, developed by BP and China's CNPC, has fallen from peaks hit in December and January, official figures showed, in what could be a sign of, I love this, challenges ahead. Okay, so one of the largest supergiant fields in the world now has just passed peak. And we all know that once an oil field or a planet passes the peak of production, no amount of wishful thinking, investment, infrastructure, drill, baby, drill. I'd like to, never mind. I'm going to try to be a gentleman tonight. No amount of wishful thinking or bullshit will permit production to increase. In the meantime, all of the Arab world, and it's not just the Arab world, but this is where the oil is on fire, and it's getting worse. The Saudi king, Abdullah, and those of you who follow me on the World News Desk at CollapseNet know that I've been writing about Saudi Arabia for years, but just about a week and a half ago, he offered $34 billion to try to stave off the civil unrest, which is engulfing the rest of the Arab world, especially Oman, Bahrain, Yemen, the countries surrounding Saudi Arabia, where it's all getting out of control and it hasn't been resolved. And everybody read that the same way I did. All the experts that I was reading said, oh my God, he's scared to death. He's offering bribes. And then he comes back a little later and says, well, I'm going to guarantee everybody in Saudi Arabia a state job. I mean, so now, as we have been posting on the World News Desk, we have seen some serious demonstrations, and there's a lot of concern now because what's happening in Saudi Arabia is a Shia-Sunni split, and there is a large Shia minority population in the country of Saudi Arabia in the eastern part of the country, which is where the oil is. Now, if you step back a little bit further, the largest Shia population in the Middle East is in Iran, which has emerged as a bulletproof superpower. Why do I say bulletproof? I say bulletproof because no one will dare to attack Iran now because that might take Iranian production offline. And this is something I've been saying consistently for 5 years, but now it's a fait accompli. Iran understands. I mean, China depends. Of course, all that's melting down. Iran understands completely that nobody's going to mess with oil supplies because every economy in the world, as we all know and as we all are, is absolutely groaning with oil at $104, $105 a barrel. I just got a report unconfirmed of $5 gasoline already in California. So the situation in the Arab world across MENA, Middle East, North Africa, is by no means stable. NATO must intervene in Libya. They have no choice. There's an estimated 400,000 Libyan refugees that will be headed for Italy, which needs Libyan gas. And the worst-case scenario would be Muammar Gaddafi scorching the earth like Saddam Hussein did to take his wells offline, and there have been some serious attacks there. Got some questions born in, so we're going to get to those in a second. I just want to finish this up for a minute. So the point is that we are there. We are at the point of no return, and it may well be that Libya by itself is the, this is a really bad pun, the straw that broke the camel's back, I told you, of human industrial civilization. And if not, it will be Saudi Arabia. The whole global economy will shut down if we pass 150 oil. It is already shutting down. There will be no recovery. There will be no bailouts. There will be no, because all of the money that has been printed by every government, every central bank, every bank around the world in the infinite growth paradigm is only a symbol for what energy does. Without energy, money has no meaning whatsoever. And we're there. Now, I've got a whole bunch of questions coming in, so let's go and take one of those. Okay. This is from Michael F. How close are we to U.S. military involvement in Libya? Will we U.S. militarily prop up the Saudi regime? Carter Doctrine. Well, okay, first of all, let's deal with Libya. What I've been documenting on the World News Desk at Collapse, that I want to thank everybody so much, because we're now well over 3,600 members, and we're growing very rapidly. Of course, it helps when everybody discovers it. That's the place where you get the good information. And there's some really good stuff with that, too. We'll get to the Collapse Net commercial later. Let me answer the question. If wishes were horses, beggars would ride. I think it's pretty clear from everything I've been scanning, and every day I look at about 100 stories that are collected from around the world, reputable sources. We link to them on the World News Desk. It's clear that the U.S. and everybody understands that some kind of military intervention in Libya is necessary. I do not believe that NATO, having its member countries, especially France and Great Britain, having gutted their military services as a result of budget crushes, can stand up to do an intervention in Libya. I think it's going to happen. I am very concerned about the command and control, logistics, think through. This is a case where my friend, I wish Dick Marcinko was running it if it was going to happen. At least it wouldn't turn out to be a bridge too far. There's nothing but risk, and there's no good outcome for that. But I think we're going to see it in some form or another, especially if Gaddafi holds on. Now, he's kind of taken the wind out of the sails of the rebels in Libya. He's fighting back hard. He's dampening their enthusiasm. He's now just shut off the internet. He's staging counterattacks. So it's a civil war. Now, will we, the U.S., militarily prop up the present Saudi regime under the Carter Doctrine? No, Michael F., I don't think so, because I don't think that has ever been the plan. As I wrote in Crossing the Rubicon, as I wrote back in 2003 about Saudi Arabia, and as I've been saying ever since, I think the plan is to balkanize Saudi Arabia and carve it up and take just the oil. Now, the oil, remember, Saudi Arabia has 25% of the known oil on the planet. And with that, all that oil is concentrated in the far eastern part of the country. You can carve that off, you know, on a map pretty easily. But that's the Shia minority, and that's the big issue that Iran is playing, and Iran is stirring trouble in Saudi Arabia for all it's worth. I believe, and I think I've documented very clearly over the years, that the U.S. plan, well, I don't know if we're going to be able to execute it or not. We're getting our butts kicked all over the world, and the pressure is on all over the world, would be to see the Saudi monarchy go, which is inevitable. I've been saying this very clearly. Saudi Arabia is going, the whole world's going up, because there's no coming back from this place that we are now. There are solutions. We'll talk about those later. So the question is, can it? And what I really worry about, of course, now at this point, is because every drop of oil is critical to a global economy that's melting down under oil prices that are already here. So, yes. Oh, God, I've got 5, 6, 7 questions. Thanks, guys. It's really good to hear from you tonight, and it's nice to know you're out there. You know, I put a lot of work into the show, and I usually spend about between 6 and 9 hours a week when I have a guest coming up to get ready, and it's just been too busy. It really feels good to be just you and me. So we got all kinds of stuff happening. It's really bad, but there's a silver lining to that, in that I don't think anybody can deny what's going on anymore. It's pretty obvious. So our work to convince people and help them do what they need to do to prepare is going to be more better received. every show we do a song from New White Trash, and maybe this is just me reacting to the workload over the last couple of weeks and the things that are going on, which are sometimes kind of hard to digest. But this is a song, this is an early New White Trash song, and the female vocalist you're going to hear in this song is Kristen Weygaard, an amazing singer. She was the understudy for Annie years ago, and she's just been around a long time. She's a good friend. But this is a song written by Doug Lewis and a bunch of us at New White Trash, and it's called Meltdown. Here we go.
I'm on my meltdown. I'm on my meltdown. I'm on my meltdown.
She could take the money and run, cash it all in for some fun in the sun. But the bailout came and left you blind. Now the tax man is coming for your behind. Trash is your new face, falling from the middle and you're facing a hard race. Sock it to me, baby, and you can't win. Got more going out than you got coming in. Everything you know is looking like a lie. You only want to work, but not one bite. And now you're selling something for cash on the side. You're the new white trash, and you can't hide. Young and nine, ain't no doubt about it, you're losing big time. When everything was good, it all turned bad. You're the new white trash, and you've been had. You're the new white trash. You're the new white trash, and you've been had. Fresh from the TV set, you're the new white trash. That's what you get. They pay like a fish, made to jump. You're the new white trash, and it's coming round to nothing for you and your bust.
I feel better after that. Okay, Justin DeArmond, I'm going to paraphrase a pretty long question because we've got a whole bunch of questions. Thanks, guys. It's really good to hear from you tonight. I appreciate that a lot. It feels good. I feel it. The basic question is, he lives in Kansas, and he says, we're about 10 years behind the coast as far as fashion trends, language, and do I think Kansas is going to get it? Look, here's my short version of that. I don't know how long you can expect to get a check from the government. It might not be very long at all, especially since, this is a big thing. The Federal Reserve has just dropped a bomb that they're talking about suddenly stopping quantitative easing too, which is the massive bond buying purchase that's wreaked havoc throughout the world and triggered massive inflation, I think in May. Now, if they do suddenly stop that, and it looks like they're gonna, then the dollar is going to instantly disappear as the world's reserve currency. There is no point in anybody buying dollars anymore, because the Treasury, the Fed has literally replaced China as the buyer of T-bonds. And if they stop buying T-bonds, nobody's going to want them because we have a 0% interest rate and the world's a wash in paper dollars. So the dollar will be dead. It could happen overnight in May. There's no escaping this anywhere. We live in a world now, and it's so clear to me, where when I see a guy immolate himself in Tunisia or Algeria or Saudi Arabia, or there have been many of them, when I see the hungry, starving people all throughout not only the Arab world, but we had 40,000 people turn out in the streets of Delhi over food prices last week. When I see food riots in Mauritania and Bolivia, when I see, and here in the States, we had anarchists clashing with police in Seattle last week. Civil unrest is breaking out here already. I realize that this is not a regional issue, and this is a human issue, and it's so important to have an empathic understanding that this is happening to the entire human race right now. I'm serious. We're out of time. So, Michael, go plant a garden right now. Stock up on fresh water right now. Go to CollapseNet. Go to the free Lighthouse directory now with more than 1,120 hand-picked entries in all categories to help shop and find the things that you decide that you're going to need. Participate. We have now more than, I think, 40 regional blogs around the world. Find out what's happening in your area close to you, but you have no time now to do anything else but find people close to you who get what's going on and who can help you out. Here's a question from Pete Stach. Hi, Pete. How you doing, man? Oh, cool. He's been just a great friend on Facebook, made some great contributions, very bright guy. He asks, hey, Mike, would it make more sense for one to sell his or her gold and silver coins and invest in more important items like food, storage, water, medical supplies, etc. Pete in Jersey. Hey, Jersey. Yes, I got another friend in Jersey. His name is Tom Brown, and maybe we'll talk about Tom Brown, because I'm actually going to say some positive stuff at the end of the show, guys. So trust me and hang in here. I can't deal with it much. It's hard for me to deal with too. First of all, back to Pete's question. I think it was about 7-8 months ago now that I issued an alert to all CollapseNet members, and you can find us at CollapseNet.com that said, now is time, if you have gold and silver, to sell maybe up to half of it, to buy all the essential items you need for survival right now, because you're going to have an extremely hard time getting them. As we know, gold has just rocketed through all-time highs, and it's just starting. 2,000 gold is, silver is opening at $36. So this is a good time to sell some of that to get what you need. I wouldn't put off getting any essential survival equipment, whether it's sleeping bags, generators, stocking up on some gasoline, certainly 3 months worth of food, first aid, fresh water, guns. If you've decided that's the way you want to go, get them now. And it's perfectly okay to liquidate some metals. You don't want to liquidate them all because the price is really just starting to go up. But it's a strong balance. But I want to emphasize that now is the time to get prepared. Okay, here's a question from Gauss Resigno. I saw a video of Newt Gingrich. Oh, there's a real trustworthy guy. Talking about how much oil is still available, but it's illegal to drill for it. For example, off the coast of the Brazil, Anwar. Newt Gingrich is a lying son of a bitch. Hope everybody got that. Newt, I hope you heard that. Okay? We have passed the peak of oil production. We have used half of all the oil that's available. And you play with the numbers like your Republican counterparts or your Democratic progressive counterparts. You all worship at the Church of Infinite Growth. And you talk about how much, but it's illegal to drill, for example, off the coast of Brazil. No, the Brazilian oil finds are in 15, 20,000 feet of water. Deeper than Deepwater Horizon. They had, and the press loves to scream, and I documented this in the book Confronting Collapse, this big find they supposedly had in Brazil off Carioca. They drilled one well, and then they announced 300 billion barrels of oil. Well, anybody who's familiar with oil production understands that you can't estimate a field size until you've struck oil and then drilled a bunch of appraisal wells around the outside of that strike to determine field size. And of course, the actual karaoke amounts were drastically reduced, 100, 200 million barrels. The world's using a billion barrels every 11 and a half days now. So, and Anwar, USGS reports, all the other reports show very clearly that there may not be enough recoverable. So Gingrich is lying. Anybody who says that to you now is lying. Challenge them on it. Do not accept what they tell you. We have been, we meaning we in the peak oil movement, have been documenting and predicting all this for years, and every 10 seconds we turn around and we're validated right now. So, no. And besides that, it takes 5 to 7 years to bring an oil field online, and God knows how many hundreds of millions of dollars in investment. Has anybody noticed there isn't a lot of money floating around? Now, of course, with oil at those prices, sure, they'll go out and try to get it, but that doesn't do any good for the fact that there's no elasticity in the system now, and it is confirmed, has no doubt, that global oil demand will this year, any month now, certainly by the summertime, surpass, break through the all-time global demand set in the summer of 2007, yet we know that we passed peak in 2006. Jim Newcomb has a question. Then we're going to go to a caller in Los Angeles. Hey, in L.A. Jim Newcomb asks, my fiance is a marriage and family counselor. How do you see professions changing in the collapse, and would a role like hers be valuable? It's going to be very valuable. Just don't expect to get reimbursed by insurance companies. We are all going to need a lot of tender love and care. We're all going to need a lot of hugging. We're all going to need a lot of emotional, spiritual, and physical support to get through this, because it's too big to eat, like Rodney Allen Rippey used to say. We have a caller, Jennifer from Los Angeles. Are you out there? Jennifer, are you there? I hear a radio.
Oh, I'm here, yeah.
Hi. Welcome to the Lifeboat Hour.
Hi. Am I on?
You are live.
I am live.
You,
Michael,
are live.
Hi. So I have a really kind of a, it's not such a short question, but pretty relevant and important. There's so many groups that, you know, obviously are aware of this new paradigm and the collapsing of the world economy and world systems, but my opinion and a lot of others, it's also not just that, it's also a shift in consciousness, mm-hmm. and evolution of mankind, mm-hmm. towards a new paradigm and a new way of being and a new humanity.
Yes.
So facing collapse, which is a reality, and there's, of course, you know, valid reasons, there's valid reasons to, you know, be prepared and, you know, sometimes, you know, get guns and, but I kind of struggle a little bit with this part of it, because that's part of the old paradigm way of thinking that we've all been so conditioned all of our lives, you know, by governments. And I think that what's really going on, and if you look at the bigger picture here, is just this really, obviously, it's always, everything's evolving, you know, from the dinosaurs to the apes to the, and I think mankind has reached that point now where this is our moment, our opportunity to collectively change. Now, not everybody is going to change. Obviously, even my own family members completely think I'm bananas and nuts and don't believe me, but I believe that to approach this in a way that's, you know, obviously taking into consideration, yes, we need water and food and need to be cautious of what's actually happening. But, however, keep in mind that we are entering a new era, a new phase, a new,
right.
new humanity. And that new humanity and that new collective oneness that's has no room for fear.
Jennifer, I'm running a little late for a station break. Can you hang on the phone so that we can come back and pick this up? I have to do a station break, otherwise they're going to come in and lock me up.
I know, I'll ramble forever, okay.
All right, listen, we're going to do a little station break with another song from New White Trash. We'll be back in a minute.
There were sweethearts at the rodeo, a few by the fire. is PRN, Progressive Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Daryl Clark.
Bob Levis.
Ron Waits.
And we're your Progressive News Weekly team here on Progressive Radio Network.
Shank of the Morning, the Shank of the Week, Wednesdays, 10 a.m., 11 a.m.
We are you as if you had a mic in your hand the way we do.
It's news you can use. News for you, by you, and of you.
Grassroots activism.
That's all I'll shoot them, folks.
This is John Rappaport inviting you to my new radio show on the Progressive Radio Network, which will air every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. I'm an investigative reporter. I've spent 20 years researching health and medical fraud, deep politics. I'll have lots of very knowledgeable guests on the show who have information to share with you so that you can live a more healthy and informed life. Join me every Wednesday on PRN. That's 7 p.m. Eastern Time, the John Rappaport Show. See you then.
South of the border.
Are you one of the millions caught up in that first world rat race? Well, I used to be. I'm John Mueller, host of the Expat Files, where we discuss what it's really like to live, work, play, and or retire down in Latin America. Can you really live like a king down here on a crummy Social Security check? What about starting a business or buying a house or love and romance? Just tune in Monday and Wednesday at 8 p.m. and send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And to listen to any of my past shows, just go to progressiveradionetwork.com/archives and click on the link to the Expat Files. Nos vemos.
I kissed a smile upon her face.
You are listening to the Progressive Radio Network, your number one source for progressive commentary.
There were sweethearts at the rodeo, a few by the fallout. Life had no path to go by, living in another life, one on the way, two by the side. Double down on something, yeah, looking for the one thing.
That's a whole nother trip. That's the song from New White Trash. Before we get back to our caller, Jennifer, I just thought this is a perfect timing. I opened the next email in sequence, and this is from Junebug to Lifeboat Hour. I'm coming back to Jennifer, I promise. My question is about the music you make with your band. Perfect timing, the New White Trash. I bought the double disc from New White Trash website and have been listening for a couple of weeks now at home in my car with friends. I'm 22 years old from Canton, Ohio, and my question is, with all going on, how do you find time to make this incredible music? You call it music of the post-paradigm, and I'm not sure what that means, but we all agree that the music is incredible, amazing, and exactly right for today, so thank you. Well, thank you, Junebug. You can find the songs, 37 original songs in our double CD, double wide, at newwhitetrash.com. You listen to them for free, download them for $11.11. You can buy the CD for $22.22. We got a handcrafted, beautiful coffee table with, you know, all kinds of good stuff. We thank you for that. We really don't have time now. The band is really not functional at the moment. Andy Kravitz, who was one of the co-founders, is back in Philly. He was just nominated for another Grammy. He's back in Philly making records. Doug is here, and there's no time to make music now. We did this about a year ago, a year and a half ago, and just during this amazing period of creativity. I would love to go live with this sometime. But I don't think circumstances are going to allow that, and I'm just grateful to spirit and the universe and my muse that I got a chance to do that much. And I can always sing 12-bar blues, and I may get a chance to record some here with some great musicians in Venice real soon. So thank you for that. Now, Jennifer, I'm actually really back to you because the question you asked is so important.
Mm-hmm.
I've been saying this for years now, that mankind is now confronted in
yes.
our faces with an alternative, either grow up or
yes.
die, evolve
Correct.
Or perish.
Correct.
As my dear friend Colin Campbell said. He's one. He's of course the grandfather of the peak oil movement now, and the godfather, mm-hmm. grandfather, and one of so many great heroes out there. And when I first spoke to him, maybe in 2001, he said very clearly. He said the species Homo sapiens might not become extinct, but the subspecies of petroleum man most certainly will. Now, my life has involved a great deal of spiritual work, which is still deepening. I'm grateful for the great many connections I'm making with people like Tom Brown and all of his incredible instructors, people that really come to believe that our Mother Earth is alive and that we do have a connection with all life on this planet. We certainly are trashing our bed with no place else to go. But I see this evolution in consciousness taking place, and that's the one thing that really keeps me going. I'm seeing it accelerating. If you watch the growth at CollapseNet, you see there's all kinds of people who get it, and we're linking to more people who get it, who are changing. And you know, so this is like the suspense moment in the movie. Are some of us going to evolve? Yes, that's already happened. There are species of post-petroleum man, which is primarily an evolution in consciousness more than anything else. I see them and I deal with them. It's very hard to move back and forth between the two worlds, I'll tell you that. But that is what must happen. Now, that will be forced. You know, there are no atheists in foxholes. A lot of people are going to start asking questions about that. But what I am seeing is, and this has really been driven home, Jennifer, and I've got like four more questions, so I'm going to have to move on. But it's accelerating. And the way I feel now is I look at what we have cataloged on CollapseNet. I look at what we've done with this radio show, and my goal has been, since the radio show has been on now about 7 months, to identify as many people doing as many things as possible. The only requirement is that they be trying to help save human life. And we've had some really incredible guests here. Bob Waldrop in Oklahoma City from Running on Empty. We had Survival Blog. We had, you know, we've Transition US, those wonderful people with all the work they're doing. So clearly there are a lot of us out here eager to give away the information so that when people wake up to this consciousness, it's like, okay, we got an oxygen mask for you. It's not a perfect answer, but there's all this information out here and all these people aching to give it away. And I'm hoping to push this change in consciousness as quickly as possible. Jennifer, thank you for calling. I've got four more people I got to get to here, and boy, this hour is flying by fast. Thanks, Jennifer. Okay, let's question from Ward. Glad to get to hear you talk for just the whole hour. You're doing great. Well, thanks. You know, Ward, I'm having a good time at it, too. It's really nice just to be with you guys. I don't know if this fits into tonight's discussion or not, he writes. Question, do you have plans to continue your radio show by other means, shortwave, for instance, if PRN becomes unusable for some reason in the future? Suggestions might include using CollapseNet members to help replay a broadcast across the country, providing we can come up with enough people with the radio expertise. Keep me in mind for this. I have radio skills to offer. Well, I'm definitely going to keep you in mind for that, brother. You're somebody I want to meet. We've talked about a lot. Of course, our issue was the same as everybody else's. It's means. Right now, my priority is to get out of Los Angeles. Things are disintegrating so fast. There is going to be massive civil unrest all over this country and all over the world, really, in very short order. And oil prices will be the absolute trigger for that. Nobody can survive with oil prices continuing to spike. And given the current world situation and where we are with peak, they are going to spike. So, excuse me. We've thought about it. The first priority is to get stable with the wonderful people in Sonoma County, which is just like a mecca of people doing the hand in the ground work and thinking about this. We also are opting for a maritime plan. We don't have the money yet. We do have, thanks to Max Moger and my assistant, a 31-foot sailboat, but what I would like to see as my option is a 60 to 90-foot power sailboat that we could put up somewhere in Northern California that we would equip with ham, shortwave, CB, anything, so that we could, as circumstances dictated, my trademark line is, what you don't need is a plan, what you need are options. You don't need a plan, you need options. And a boat gives a lot of options to move all up and down the Pacific coast of the Western Hemisphere, as needs dictate. Yeah, we'd love to do that. We don't have the means yet. Anybody's got any ideas on that, wants to lend some help, yes, Ward, you can bet we will be in touch with you, and thank you so much for that. Okay, we got a question from Steve. Stevo Greno. Okay, Stevo Greno. Nice name. Dear Mike, I'm trying to figure out what nationality. His name is probably Steve O'Grano when he lives in Milwaukee, whatever. Do you see the powers that be will initiate a false flag event because of the oil food price crunch? I've heard or read somewhere that nukes have been pre-staged in various U.S. cities as part of the plan. Is this mere scuttlebutt and wild speculation? Steve in Tennessee. Hi, Steve in Tennessee. How are you? Okay, anything is possible. Of course, we know that false flags occur, and they are a means of diverting attention. However, what I'm more worried about now, especially as a result of this uncontrollable unrest that's spreading globally as economic collapse beats us over the head, is an actual nuclear war. I'm probably more worried about that than I am about a false flag, but I don't rule anything out. I don't think anybody's going to buy or care about a false flag event unless it's used as a pretext for something. But here we come back to the fact that the U.S. military and the militaries of the world, with the exceptions of Russia and China, are all stretched to the max. I don't know what would be gained by it. Let me just put it that way. Okay, now we got another question from Avis Kennedy. Avis Kennedy writes, "Hi, Michael. My husband and I live in Northwest Detroit. We own our home, but we'll be moving to North Carolina, where we have a small two-bedroom home. We intend to live very simply. Both houses are paid for, hopefully next month or in May. I wish I could move tomorrow, because based upon what you have said, Detroit is not the place to be. We know how to garden for sure. What is your advice for living as much off the grid as possible?" Well, that is my advice. Live as much off the grid as possible. There's no one suit of clothes that fits everybody, so I cannot give an answer. Otherwise, I might be putting you into a pair of, Avis, assuming you're female, into men's, size 50 dungarees. But clearly what I have said consistently for years now is that, let's take a riot, for example. And I was here in L.A. for the Rodney King insurrection. That was amazing, and we're going to see a lot more of those. When something like that breaks out, what you need to do is to just create distance. And the way you create distance from a collapsing economic paradigm or collapsing civilization is you disengage. You get as far away as you can. That means what I said in Seattle in 2005, get out of debt if you can. But again, we're dealing now with weeks, days and weeks before we get to the next real slap in the face or kick in the something or others. So disengaging is, if you can get off grid, do so. If you can supplement the electricity in your house with solar quickly, I mean like next week, do it. Right now, the most important thing to disengage from is the massive inflationary spiking prices of food. That's what, that and gasoline. Now, somebody's told me we had $5 gasoline in California already. It's coming for sure. We'll probably see $6 this year. You never know. I mean, and if Saudi Arabia goes offline, or somebody takes Iraq offline, or a part of Iraq, there's no elasticity, and the Saudis have been lying. You could see $7 gasoline overnight, but the food and gasoline are the two basic issues, and there are 10 calories of hydrocarbon energy in every calorie of food. First thing you need to do is plant something that you can eat. As I just did the Tom Brown Standard course up in Santa Cruz a few weeks ago, and they made a really good point. They said, one of the great things about eating plants is that plants don't run when you try to eat them. So that's what you want to do. You should have go bags. You should have a stash of emergency supplies that you will prepare yourself. There's a great many lists and recommended lists you can find in the Lifeboat Directory at CollapseNet. That's totally free. Try to do that. Okay, we've got a question from Brian Burgess. to the Lifeboat Hour. House Bill 5 passed the Ohio Senate this week by one vote and is expected to quickly sail through the House and Governor's Office. HB 5 essentially limits collective bargaining rights by public sector unions, just as the nationally followed legislation in Wisconsin. Ohio may be the first in the country to do this. Now, my question, if the unions could somehow maintain the status quo, how could a state $8 billion in deficit possibly afford the current level of union benefits? Well, that's the point that I got to at the start of the show. And I've been saying this for years. I mean, I was writing it from the wilderness. I was writing it in Rubicon. The pensions are already looted. Get that. The pensions are already looted. They're covering up the fact that these unfunded, that these liabilities are unfunded, because if unions were to come and actually force a showdown and a real accounting, they would find that money's been gone for a long time. So it's not coming back, and nobody can afford it. You know, we are in the absolute tail end of this great global bubble that's just about to ooey gooey plop all over the place. And so that's, nobody can afford anything anymore. And I want to be very clear, and we've been documenting this every day on the World News Desk. There's like 10, 11 states now where this blitzkrieg is proceeding unabated. Nothing has slowed anything down. There are legislative clocks and legal clocks that have to run before the governor of Wisconsin or any other governor can take action. And those clocks haven't been slowed down one bit. And in the meantime, we are seeing it in New Jersey and, all over. The attack on unions is fully underway, can't be prevented. Okay, we're down to our last 7 minutes or so. Let me go back and check the inbox. Oh, okay, we're clear. So, at any rate, here we are at the end of another show. I got to go back and get to working on this speech that I got to give at the University of Delaware. If there's any of you out there in the area, we'd love to see you. I think this is going to be a pretty large event. And Lord knows I'm not going to disappoint anybody. But where I am at the end of this show, and I'm really glad I got to spend this whole hour with all of you guys. Thank you so much for the support that you've been giving us, all of us at CollapseNet. You know, we got 11 people who give their hearts at CollapseNet, and they're starting to eat. You know, we're taking care of our tribe, but all of the staff at CollapseNet are just absolutely devoted to laying out this huge menu of choices and information that you have now when you need it. And I'm really glad to be, from a spiritual standpoint, now aware of this huge family that exists around the world. There are millions of us who understand that the human race for the last 2,000 years has been worshiping at the Church of Infinite Growth. That has been mankind's real religion as practiced. And there are people now who understand that that with all the climate catastrophes that are taking place, with fresh water disappearing, with oil becoming more dangerous, expensive, and impossible to get, with the topsoil in most cases a useless sponge, and of course we've seen the stories this week that without a massive bumper harvest in 2011, it's game over. And these are serious publications saying this, and we will not have a bumper harvest. As I speak tonight, experts are predicting the biggest floods in 20 years along the Mississippi River throughout the Corn Belt. This year, there's a massive drought in China. Crops are failing in a great many places, and so we will not have the bumper harvest. So it is a certainty that oil and food prices are going to be pretty much unrecognizable in very, very short order. You need to understand only one thing. There is a 96% correlation between greenhouse gas emission and GDP growth. GDP can only grow by burning oil and natural gas and coal. And then natural gas doesn't have emissions, but you get the point. 95% of the world's transportation, how we move our food, how we grow our food, not counting the oil and the pesticides, is oil. There can be no economic solution to the trillions and trillions of dollars of debt that has been created without GDP growth, meaning burning more oil. End of case. That's it. It's closed. Human industrial civilization, say bye-bye. What is so great to know, and maybe I'll leave you with this. I got a couple of minutes, but one of the things I want to leave you with is just my gratitude to know that there are so many people so aware like we are. Who get it, who understand, and we no longer have to apologize because the lunacy and the dishonesty and the lying on government, on the part of government now, the ineffectiveness of government now, is so apparent that we can literally take the point and say, if you don't see what's going on, good luck. Because we really have to look to ourselves. And that is the most important thing I guess I want to leave you with tonight, is that now is the time to tighten up your tribe. Now is the time to find the people close to you, which you can do on CollapseNet. Your CollapseNet member, boom, we locate everybody who's close to you. Right there, you can get involved in Transition US. You can start with any of the enormous number of resources and sources out there. But the most important thing you need to do right now is plant something to eat and really start to find your neighbors and the people close to you who can help you out in really squirrely situations, and do it like your butt was on fire, and that if you didn't do it, you might not make it, because that's what we've come down to. Time for speculation is over. Libya is out of control. It will not get better. Saudi Arabia looks to go next week. And I wouldn't be surprised if by the time next time I come on this show, we see oil at $115 to $120 a barrel. And we're all paying $4.50 a gallon. And that will become the paramount issue. That and food. That's what we need to focus on. And I'm so glad there's so many of us out here contributing to us. Thanks to everybody tonight who sent all the emails. Jennifer for calling. Thanks to PRN. We're still here. We're still swinging. And I'll see you next week. Good night.